Now, dear people, as we come to the Word of God this morning, I ask you to open your Bibles to John chapter 10. I'm going to read a lengthy section of the scripture because much of it is the background of the very message this morning. John chapter 10, and I will begin reading in verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and he is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd and I know my own and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, so that I may take it up again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I receive from my Father. A division occurred again amongst the Jews because of these words. Many of them were saying, he has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him? Others were saying, these are not the sayings of a demon possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he? At the time of the feast of the dedication that took place in Jerusalem, it was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. The Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. In this 10th chapter of John, the Lord Jesus begins a lesson with a parable. He is concerned about the situation that is in Israel at that day, where the Pharisees and the religious order were the ones who were supposedly leading and guiding the sheep, supposed to be them who are protecting as a shepherd would do. But that was not the case. Therefore, the purpose of the lesson is to teach his hearers who he really is and how he differs from those Pharisees and Sadducees. The parable is about sheep and their relationship with the shepherd. Sheep are docile, defenseless animals. They have no way of protecting themselves and will wander off into danger. They need a shepherd to protect and guide them. That being the case, Their lives and well-being depends upon one who would lead and guide them, hence depends upon a shepherd. Jesus starts this proverb with a place, and it is concerning the proper way to enter the sheepfold. He suggests this relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. The robber, he says, does not come by the door, but he climbs over the wall. But the sheep will not follow a stranger because he does not know the voice of a stranger. Therefore, the sheep runs from the stranger, and he will not listen to the stranger. But then, he says, the shepherd enters the fold by the door. And the sheep hears his voice and follows his because they know his voice. The parable was given to explain, again, as I said, the Pharisees and their relationship to the people of God of Israel and the difference between their care over Israel and Jesus Christ and his care and love for his people. They did not understand this parable to Jesus, so Jesus explained it in verses 7 to 30. In this passage, we find one of the most profound and striking teachings of our Savior concerning his relationship to his people. I believe the truth set before us by Christ Jesus is appropriate for our coming to the Lord's table this morning. And it shows us that we, in our obedience to Christ, we must first of all look to him. Because Christ said, do this in remembrance of me. And it's always right to remember some aspect of Christ to bring it front and center as we come to the table. I would like to turn your attention to two parts of this passage for our meditation this morning. Verses 14 and 27 and a portion of 28. Now, in verse 14, we read this. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Verses 27 and part of 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them. There are three lines of thought I would like to direct you on this morning. First of all, the intimate relationship between Christ Jesus and his sheep. Second line, the practical relationship between Christ and his sheep. And then thirdly, the eternal relationship between Christ and his sheep. First of all, the intimate relationship between Christ Jesus and his sheep. We can see clearly there exists a wonderful statement of his relationship with his sheep. Jesus says, first of all, as we come, Christ Jesus' relationship with his sheep. He gives us this on two levels, his relationship and their relationship. In stating his own relationship is found in the phrase, I know my own. It begins with an interesting word translated know, to know. This is a general word to describe to know. Knowing, or to have knowledge, or to be intellectual concerning something. It is used in the New Testament in a range of ways, from intellectual knowledge to an intimate knowledge. It's also used in a way to saying that there is a relationship between a man and his wife. Know in this context expresses the close and intimate union that exists between Christ and those whom he came to save. This is speaking of a personal relationship, affectionate regard or love. I know my own. The word implies a complete knowledge that includes their character, needs, and the dangers, which culminates with a deep interest in their welfare. It is harsh that there would be, and I should say it this way, the Pharisees had no concern about the needs, the dangers, or even the character of the people of Israel at that time. They were concerned about themselves. Jesus said concerning them, all who came before me, and he's speaking of even the Sadducees and the Pharisees at that time, all who came before me are nothing but robbers. They are not concerned about the sheep because the sheep doesn't even belong to them. They're hired hands. Like the shepherd of sheep, Jesus takes the time to know all about his people. He knows their physical strength and weaknesses, their emotional battles and their spiritual woes and victories. Jesus says, I know them. He loves them. He has a close relationship to them. He is committed to supplying their needs and removing all the dangers from their lives. He used this parable as far as sheep is concerned, and we find that this is not a parable that comes to us only out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. All in the scripture, God talks about his sheep, and he says those who belong to him are like those sheep. They are docile and weak. They have no way of protecting themselves. Most of the creatures we find in God's creation, they can protect themselves, even from the smallest little bug, by even making himself camouflage with his surroundings so he would not be eaten. An armadillo, if he sees danger coming, he balls up into a nice little ball so that which comes in order to destroy or eat him can't get to him. A sheep has no defensive mechanism at all. The only thing that they have as protection is the shepherd. We see David, and he shows that he is the one that was given to protect sheep, and he would do that very thing. And that's why David can say later on, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He knows everything that he needs, every part of his whole character, his makeup, physical weakness, or even strength, which ought to be brought up higher. He will do it. And that's why he can say, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. My cup runneth over, because the shepherd is taking care of him. Jesus wants the dangers and the desires of his people. He knows, the dangers and desires of his people. And as their shepherd, he is moved to protect, defend, and to help them. And Jesus says, this is the relationship of my sheep. I know my sheep. I know everything that there is about them. I know all that they're going through. And dear people, isn't that a great truth to understand? We may sit in this life and we may go through and we may say, the Lord, do you understand what's going on? Do you see what they're doing to me? Do you see, even in this world where nothing but sin and wickedness and man is doing nothing but destroying man, man is concerned about his own self, his own needs, his own pleasures. We read that even in Genesis this morning. Here Abraham goes into Sarai. You're a beautiful woman. What does the king want to do? He'll kill me and take you. What regard does man have for man and his relationship with his wife? None whatsoever. Lie to him, Sarai. Say to him, you're my sister. And what a horrible thing to put her in that situation. To be brought into a harem. The king of Egypt did not have no wife at all. And he see what, I want to take this wife. He wants to add her to his other wives. And that's what the world is around us right now. Everybody wants what he can get from us in order to fulfill their own desires. And we may say at times, Lord, when is this going to stop? It's almost like we're saying, Lord, the heavens are brass. You're not looking at what's going on down here. Jesus says, not so. I know my sheep. I know them. I know what you're going through. I know the troubles that come to you. I know that wayward child that brings you down to your knees in prayer to you. I know that spouse who does not love Christ. I know the situation of employment. I know what you're going through. All those aches and pains. I know the questions. I know all the turmoil that comes into your life. I know. And you can see why Jesus can say all that came from him before him were just robbers and thieves. It's the same thing men do today. They claim they know our needs. They know what we want. And so therefore they say, elect me, elect me. We send them to the place of government, and what they do, line their own pockets. All I know from you, they're saying, is that you are the way for me to have a better life. That's what the Pharisees were doing. And Jesus said they're robbers and thieves. But he says, I know. And he shows his very relationship, the very idea. It's an intimate relationship. It's a close relationship. You and I do not have to wonder at any time. Does the Lord really know? Is he moved by what we're going through? Yes, he is. He says this. He tells us plainly, clearly, I know. But then he says, my own. What a wonderful two words to have connected to the I know, my own. Jesus stated that the sheep that make up his flock belong to him. You know that I'm much of a cowboy. And one of the things you can see in the cowboy pictures is that they have all their cattle, they brand them to make sure everybody else know that they belong to him. And so Jesus says, I know mine. They belong to me. Now, there is a brand, but it's not a brand that can be seen. And as you go on, we find this brand is what we know. Jesus know them by this brand. So you see, Jesus is the one. They are his flock. They are his possession. He purchased them with his life. I am the good shepherd, he says in verse 11. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I know my own. I know my people or my church. I know them. Just like the shepherd knows all the sheep in his flock, Jesus knows every one of his sheep. There is not one person who will come into Christ Jesus and now brought into him by salvation that he says, well, I don't know that guy or that girl over there. I know them. Jesus knows his sheep in a special way, with a special knowledge that consists of love and approval. Sometimes we fall into the category or the thoughts of that, the way I'm living right now, Jesus is looking at me and says, you're worth nothing. Push you to the side. I want to put my focus on some of the sheep that are better than you. No, that's not the case. Jesus knows and he understands. It's love, even for us when we find ourselves too weak to fight the sin that the flesh brings up in us. And Jesus knows what we're going through. And every time we come in, sometimes with the half-hearted or weakness out of our emotions to plead to God, Lord, help me. And we say, that was hardly anything. And I wonder if there was a real desire. But Jesus says, I know what you're going through. And I approve of you because you belong to me. And I'm going to bring you through it. You see, just like the sheep with no defense mechanism, we don't have much of a defense mechanism against Satan. And that's why Martin Luther can say, the one who will defeat him is Jesus Christ. One little word will fell him. Even as the man go out, the woodsman, and put the axe against a big tree and it falls. One word from Christ. Oh, we need a shepherd, dear people. And we need one of this caliber. We don't need one who's going to make havoc of us and try to tell us that they are fine and they understand us, but yet at the same point, they're using and abusing us. There is no abuse from Christ to his sheep. He knows where they are, where they live. He knows all their troubles. He knows their temptations and their weaknesses, their trials. You are not sitting here today and as if you have to give some information to Christ about why yesterday, the day before, last week, you wasn't up to par as you should. He knows it already. He knows, dear people, where we became sloppy. He knows where we got lazy. He knows where complacency slipped in. He knows it all. And oh, in knowing that, dear people, he don't look and say, I am just so tired of you. I don't know what to do about you. He looks still in love and complacency. This is mine. She belongs to me. And my heart is towards that one. And he says, this is a real relationship between me and him. He is mine. She is mine. And the wonder of it all is when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd and I know my own and my own know me. He actually equates the very relationship between him and the sheep as the same relationship we have with him and his father. Verse 15, even as the father knows me and I know the father and I lay down my life for the sheep. Who can ever fathom and understand to the depths of the relationship that Christ has with the Father? All we have to go by is what we have in the Scriptures and what the Holy Spirit will help us to understand in his very ministry to us. The close relationship with the Father. Jesus says, just as the Father knows me and I know him, I know them and they know me. If you can take it to the degree that Jesus says, maybe not to the same glorious caliber, but the very relationship and complacent togetherness is there, it's with my sheep. Oh, who could look at that or read that and think that they're just a dot on the map or a thought in the mind of Jesus? No, each and every one of them are so precious to him. And this special knowledge is expressed, that is, between him and the Father, in another passage, Matthew 11:27, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. Just like the shepherd that knows all the sheep in his flock, Jesus knows every one of his sheep. He knows them in a special way, with a special knowledge of love and approval. He knows where they live and their troubles, their temptations. He knows exactly what they need every single day, or I should say, every hour of every single day. And this knowledge that he has of his sheep produces his loving care for them. I know my own. But he says there's another aspect to that relationship. We know enough about one-sided relationships in this life, don't we? We know enough about having concern and love and compassion for someone, but not having the reciprocation of that. But Jesus said, that's not the case with my sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Brethren, we are living in times when people have no regard for one another. Relationships are flimsy and selfish at best. Many are characterized by lopsided demands of an overbearing, abusive person. Far too many relationships descend to, I don't know you anymore. I don't know who you are. In this phrase, Jesus is indicating that his close, intimate union is understood and shared by those who trust him as their shepherd. He's indicating that they now see and know the shepherd, and they know who he is. He speaks here of the change of heart of sinners that have been made to see the glory of Christ and to trust in him and his eternal peace. They know him as their good shepherd, as the one who saved them and continues to protect them. They know him as the one, as they walk in the darkness, the spiritual darkness of this world, as they come into other sections and areas, they are not walking by themselves. The Lord is my shepherd. And they live to this. They know him by faith and with a deep confidence. They're not hoping so that such a person exists. They know he exists. They know him to be real. And all their hope and joy is put upon them. They know him with an abiding love and trust that causes them to rest in him as their only true friend and savior. Oh, they know and understand that the world and those in the world, they fall flat. They make promises that they don't even plan to keep, let alone able to keep. They just spout off things, but yet they do not do anything, but not Jesus. All his promises come true for his sheep. What he says he's going to do to them, how he says he will keep them, how he says he will protect them, he will do it. And they know that he will. They know that they belong to him. And because of that, they love him and trust him. There's the brand that's on them. It's a spiritual brand. They are now those who are called to be truly ones who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, move on. There's a practical relationship between Christ and his sheep. In verse 27, it said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Now, he said this in the very parable, first of all, about the very sheep and they're going on, and what they do and how they live. And he picks up that note later on. In the beginning of the chapter, Jesus said the sheep will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him because he is a stranger and they don't know the voice. There are some things in nature that are not alike. Many things. The lamb knows his mother among thousands of sheep in the flock. One man said, "And every bee knows its own cell within the hive. There are no two people with the same fingerprints. And of the millions of men, there are no two that are alike. And from those millions of men, there are not two voices that sound alike. Every voice has an audible difference that distinguishes it from every other voice." To the new Christian, Christ's word has a distinct sound and character that no other voice possesses. Christ has a divine majesty that only a Christian can discern with the eye of faith and humbly submit to his voice in the scriptures. And that's why he says, "They know my voice and I know them." John puts it this way. In John, 1 John 2 and 3, "By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments." Jesus speaks in the scriptures and he tells us what we ought to do, what we must do. And what do? We know that they are his commandments. The practical relationship between Christ and his sheep is that they listen to his voice and they follow him. Whatever he commands, it doesn't matter. The Christian does it. They show their obedience to him in the very words of Saul of Tarsus, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" I can't help for bringing an application to us at this point. Where are you this morning concerning your practical relationship with Christ? Are you ready to do whatever he says? Go wherever he says? With such a Savior, we all should be ready to glorify him in whatever way he directs us. Remember, we are his sheep. He is caring for us. Every aspect of our lives will be brought to us because he brings it. It's only when we fall into sin that we find ourselves skewed and off the path that we should be. But our practical relationship says we come to him, we listen for his voice, and we hear that voice, and we follow that voice. Finally, the eternal relationship between Christ and his sheep, we find that in the beginning of verse 28. He says, ending up on verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them." You see, a lot of people know that they have a religion that ends at the very point of death. On the other side of death, nothing else is there. There's a hope, as some could say, whatever, but most religions do not have what needs to be given to satisfy the heart and mind of a worshiper as far as death is concerned. They will take it down and say, "Well, you know what? At the end of this, it's all over." So they serve their God for what they can get here and now. And after this, it really doesn't matter because their hearts have never been moved to look upon a God who has all power in his hand. Not only did he make, but he keeps a soul forever. And that soul which lives forever will come into his presence or be pushed out of it. Jesus says here, "And I give eternal life to them." Christ went to the cross with the promise of the Father that he would see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. What he's going to go through with that death upon the cross God said to him, you are going to see everyone that you are dying for in the end. He or she will be with you there in the end. Jesus has this great desire in himself. He accomplished the work his Father sent him to do. He indicates that's what the Father sent him to do. And the work was to provide eternal life for his sheep. So Christ is one that he now concerned with the sheep, not only while they're there, and you can see in that visible fold or flock there, but he's concerned what they will be even afterwards. I give eternal life to them. He makes the distinction between the hireling and the good shepherd on this note. When the hireling sees danger coming, he runs and leaves the sheep. But the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now we know we're not in the situation, or the situation is far above men coming in and making havocs of our earthly life. The concern here is, I believe, those hireling of men coming in and promising us all kinds of religious peace and everything. They're nothing but hirelings. They come and they just want to make havoc of the sheep. They want to eat off the sheep. Some cases, like the Old Testament says, they want to eat the sheep. Jesus was not for that purpose. I come to be a shepherd to him here. And I will always be a shepherd to them, even in the end. Jesus told the Father he wanted to have his sheep with him in heaven to behold his glory. Jesus wasn't satisfied just the fact that I've come to the world to save them, and now I have them. I'm bringing them into a fold, calling from all around the globe. But he says, no, I want them to be where I am. And he says it this way in John 17 and 24. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory. Isn't that to really know us? What do you think we want to do more than anything when we die? To see Jesus. Isn't that the desire that you have? Oh, one day to be there in heaven and look upon the face. Look at him who came from heaven, took upon a body like us, and died in my place. I want to see him. And he says, I know that's what they want. And Father, I want them to be where I am so that they can see me and behold my glory. And oh, I believe that Jesus Christ knows that when we look upon him and see him, as we can read in the scriptures, that all that saw even that vision of Christ, they fell upon their faces as dead. What will we do when we get into heaven to see him? We just bow down and worship him. Oh, hallelujah, we'll say, what a Savior. Because we know him, and it's going to be at that time. Now we see him. And all the things that I had brought to me by the very ministry of the Holy Spirit to understand who he is, it is even far beyond that. We will see grandeur and glory. We will see him in all his beauty. We will say, here is my Savior. Brethren, we look at this again that we may see the aspects of Christ, see his character, and see that which will aid us to come and even to take the Lord's Supper, not in a dull, listless, unconnected way, but connected to Christ Jesus, as he said, do this in remembrance of me. By way of application, as we close, what a promise. Dear Christian, why should you worry? Your future is sealed. You know the last chapter. All is prepared for you. You are just waiting for that blessed day. Everything is there. You have it. And you need not worry if it's going to come. Jesus' promise is that he knows his sheep and they know him. And he come to give them life. And that life we see now is the eternal life. They will have the joy of being with him forever. Brethren, secondly, come to the Lord's table with renewed love and devotion to Christ. Focus upon the truth you've just heard, that you are his own. You belong to him. He knows all about you. He is not like earthly man. And those who claim to know so much about us, but they don't know anything about us. He knows all about you. What troubles are you having? What fightings are going on inside you? What sin is trying to get the best of you? What is laziness doing to you? Dullness. He knows that too. You don't have to fake it. Take it to Jesus. Tell him, I'm having a hard time here. What do you think he's going to do? Reprove you? Grab you and bring you in closer. I know what you're going through. And guess what? I'm going to relieve you of this problem right now. Is that what you want? We ought to. Oh, the world looks bad around us. Everything looks bad. And sometimes we wonder, is there or will there be any improvement at this point? Especially what's going on in my life. Oh, but think of this. I know my own. I know them. I know everything he or she is suffering. And what we must do after we think about that, then focus upon the truth. Again, you know him with the eye of faith. Yeah, you can't touch him. You haven't seen him. But God has given you something that a non-Christian does not possess. You really, truly know Jesus through faith. And the faith is real faith. It points you right to him. And finally, in closing, for you who do not know Christ Jesus, there are some here that know nothing whatsoever about this kind of hope. For the future is guaranteed. Isn't that something? Our future is guaranteed. But you're sitting here, you don't know Christ, your future is not guaranteed. You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. You're hoping that everything will be all right with you. Some of you young folk going to school, you don't know some bully in the schoolyard or whatever going to do something, take something from you, whatever the case may be. You don't even know if with what we've seen is accidents and the craziness that goes on, if someone going to come into your school and shoot up the place. You don't know that. And all these things brings all kinds of doubting and wonderings and fears. And as I say about the Christian, he has guarantee. You don't have guarantee. Now, we don't have a guarantee what the wicked going to do, but we have a guarantee of this. Whatever should happen, the Lord knows it, and he's going to take us with him. Instead of peace for your future, dear person, you have confusion and fear. In such a wicked world, fear takes hold of you at every moment, or even sometimes in the morning when you get up. Around each corner, there is nothing but fear. Every cough causes you to wonder what is going on in my body. You don't know. You wonder. You will continue living in fear until you come to the Savior. There's only one who can say, you are mine. I know you. And the only way that can be done, dear people, is that Jesus is the Son of God that has authority to relieve all fears. Let his voice speak peace into your heart. Run to him. Take all your doubts and fears to Jesus Christ. Start by saying, Lord, here they are. I don't know if I even know how to come to you. But here's what I'm concerned about. My life, the way I'm living, I see nothing but misery at the end if I stay where I am. They tell me hell is for those who are outside of Christ. You say to them, to him, Lord, I don't want to be in that place. Help me, oh God, to come to you. You come here. It's most of you every Sunday morning. Every Sunday. And you go through the truth of the scriptures. And in some cases, you probably want to leave out the same way you came in. You do not desire to be changed. You do not desire that the word will come into your heart and prick you and cause you to be one who will now say, I want to take some thought about Christ. You see, will you be alive tomorrow? We don't know. What's going to happen to you? We don't know. And that's not to scare you. That is to give you reality. I'm quite sure a lot of people who are no longer in the land of the living, they wondered or they didn't have no thought that they wouldn't be here the next day. Well, you take those who probably got hurt so bad now, they're in a place where they're in a wheelchair or laid out on a bed somewhere. They had all kind of plans for their lives and everything, but it's all gone. And they sit in that position now and blame God. The God that gave them truth coming to them, and they wouldn't listen to it, but now they want to blame him for their situation. When it's not his doing, it's their doing. And you, where are you going to wind up tomorrow? What's going to be your case tomorrow? We pray that you be happy and wholesome and healthy, that you may hear the gospel, and that God will save you before your life become a wreck. And the only way it's going to be done is that you right now, you are wandering sheep without a shepherd. And you have no defense mechanism against the one who is the destroyer of souls. It's only Jesus Christ that can give you the protection that you need. What we do here is we once again memorialize Jesus Christ and what he's done, giving us salvation. Well, think about what we're doing. And understand that we do this because he knows us and we know him. Let us pray.